Ladies and gentlemen, dear colleagues, good morning and welcome to the third conference call for the BMW Group for the year 2009. As usual, we have on the phone this morning Dr. Norbert Reithofer, the President and Chief Executive Officer of BMW AG, and Dr. Friedrich Eichener, our Member of the Board of Management, responsible for financial affairs. First, Dr. Reithofer will give you a rundown of the implementation of our strategy number one and the operative performance of the company. Then Dr. Eichener will give you an overview of the financials for the third quarter and the first 9 months of 2009. As usual, we will then have time up to 11 o'clock for your questions. Let me now ask Dr. Reithofer to take over. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The BMW Group is continuing its strategic course, and we plan to achieve our long-term goals. First, we are writing black figures. Second, we are further implementing our strategy number one. And we are focusing in particular here on profitability. And third, we are shaping our future in line with our strategic goals. Let me now refer to all of these 3 points. First, our business figures. In the third quarter, we achieved a positive group result before taxes of 126 million euros. The group's surplus was also positive, our net profit. In the nine-month comparison, we reported positive earnings both before and after taxes. In the light of this situation, we're able to make the following forecast for 2009 as a whole. We expect a decrease in sales figures between 10 and 15% as opposed to 2008. We are aiming to achieve positive earnings and a positive adjusted free cash flow for the group. Currently, the decline in sales is continuing to slow down at group level. Third quarter sales for 2009 are around 7% lower than in the third quarter of 2008. Mini sales are already recovering. You all know that some of our high-volume models, such as the BMW 5 Series, are now nearing the end of their life cycle. In the next 2 years, we will be renewing a large share of our product portfolio. This will start with the launch of several models in the upcoming weeks and months, allowing our customers to choose among different technologies and drive concepts. The BMW 5 Series Gran Turismo and the BMW X1 entered the market last week. The X1 comes with the option of rear-wheel drive or four-wheel drive. The number of orders is far above average. In December, we will be introducing the BMW X6 with active hybrid in the United States, BMW's first full hybrid, which will be launched in Europe in mid-April 2010. This autumn, we will be launching 3 new versions of the new BMW 7 Series, the four-wheel drive, the 740 diesel, and the 12-cylinder, the 760i and the long wheelbase 760li. In particular, the 12-cylinder has received a very positive response from the media. As of April, customers in Europe will also be offered the new BMW 7 Series as a mild hybrid, which will be available to US customers as of May. Rolls-Royce will start delivering the Ghost to customers as of the end of the year. This takes me on to my second point. We're continuing to implement all measures set down by strategy number one and are laying the foundation for profitability in the years ahead. Our new models, and in particular, the renewal of our high-volume series over the next few years, will lead to a greater efficiency potential. For instance, through a more modular concept, we've found synergies across model series, and we are able in this way to enhance the value of our cars. The quality of our products, of course, remains our top priority. We will also be able to reduce the cost of materials by 2012 more than originally planned. The steps already taken here allow us to secure substantial long-term cost benefits. All this will help us meet our profitability targets for 2012. The size of our global workforce was further reduced in the course of the year by more than 1,600. This is the result of natural fluctuation, retirement, and voluntary termination agreements. This is BMW's policy, taking such measures in style with transparency, fairness, and a strong sense of responsibility. At the same time, we're still hiring, in particular specialists in research and development. Here in Germany, we hired more than 200 new employees alone in the first 9 months of this year. We stand by our social responsibilities, even in tough economic times. Indeed, this is part of the identity and the very culture of the BMW Group. Early this September, more than 1,100 apprentices started their training with us. We've also launched the BMW Group graduate program for future executives. The first participants will start here in April 2010. To face the complex challenges of the future, we need executives with outstanding competence and skills who can motivate and inspire their staff and who are prepared to take over responsibility. It is essential also that they have intercultural understanding. This takes me now to my third and final point that will continue to shape our future. We are now taking strategic steps to ensure the future of the BMW Group, which I'll present in three examples. First, we're investing further in our production sites, with around $1 billion in the USA alone, including $750 million for our Spartanburg plant in 2008 and 2009. We're also investing over 1 billion euros this year and next in our German plants, showing our clear commitment to Germany as the home of premium products. At the same time, we've set ourselves the goal to operate the most efficient, most effective, and highest performance production network in our industry. The second example, we're further expanding our Efficient Dynamics activities. Our concept car, BMW Vision Efficient Dynamics, which many of you saw at the Frankfurt Motor Show, showcases the possibilities Efficient Dynamics still has to offer. Equipped with a three-cylinder turbo diesel and two innovative electric motors, this concept car averages 3.7 litres on 100 kilometres and generates just 99 grams of CO2 or less per kilometer. The BMW brand's new CO2 champion, the BMW 320d Efficient Dynamics Edition, is already ready for the market. From spring 2010 onwards, customers will enjoy a 163 horsepower engine running on just 4.1 liters of fuel and producing 109 grams of CO2. And we're expanding our large-scale Mini E field test to France. Then the third example. We're developing new mobility concepts such as the megacity vehicle as part of Project I. Here we're cooperating with SM Limotive to supply us with lithium-ion batteries. The next step will be a joint venture with SGL Carbon, the world's leading supplier of carbon materials, which will give us access to competitive future technologies and raw materials. For the first time, our megacity vehicle will use large quantities of extremely stable, lightweight carbon fiber components. And let us not forget that this joint venture will create new jobs in the BMW Group's two largest markets, the US and Germany. All of these examples demonstrate, ladies and gentlemen, that we remain a long-term oriented company in the premium segment for individual mobility. Within our strategy number one, we've analyzed future trends in mobility. We know where we want to go. At an early point in time, we focus on sustainability in all areas of our company, as is acknowledged by many experts. At the beginning of September, the Dow Jones Sustainability Index ranked the BMW Group the world's most sustainable car company for the fifth year in a row. Later the same month, the BMW Group was included in the Carbon Disclosure Leadership Index for its exemplary contribution to climate protection. Today, NGOs and political decision makers also recognize our achievements in this area. This was recently confirmed to me in the conversations I had with many politicians and opinion leaders in the US, the UK, and France. A good reputation as a company, as a corporate citizen, is increasingly essential to all companies who want to become and remain successful. successful over the long term. Premium has set an example. It must be both a leader and a driver, and we are meeting this challenge. Forecasts indicate that the premium segment will recover in 2010 and start to grow again. In all, markets are expected to stabilize. We have great new products in the market, and we expect to gain even more momentum from the renewal, the ongoing renewal of our model range. Thank you. Thank you very much indeed, Dr. Reithofer. Now, ladies and gentlemen, over to Dr. Fritz Eichiner. Ladies and gentlemen, good morning from me too. I would now like to give you an update on our financials, and I will keep my presentation short so that you have enough time for your questions. The BMW Group closed the third quarter with positive performance, despite the difficult conditions. Both within the quarter, the third quarter, and the first 9 months, we've achieved a positive group result, as we expected, within the decline in sales of 10 to 15% for the year as a whole, the corridor that we'd marked out. Now, what is the status of the BMW Group in the third quarter? The global economic downturn had a negative effect on the third quarter. The BMW Group continued to feel strong pressure from the competition, but we expect price discipline to return when the market recovers. We improved our cost position even further in the third quarter. Our strict cost management and profitability measures have enabled us to make progress and increase our efficiency. At the same time, we have reduced our fixed costs substantially. Our measures to lower our variable costs, and especially our cost of materials, are taking effect. Right now, a large number of measures are being taken to improve profitability in the company, and we already start to see the first benefits. Thanks to these measures, we're confident that we will emerge from the crisis in the black and with a sound financial basis. This proves that we are tackling our efficiency goals with resolve, in this way getting fit for the future. As announced in August, we have changed our focus in financial management in response to more stable conditions on the capital and sales markets. We funded the second tranche of our German pension obligations in the third quarter, causing our liquidity reserves to drop accordingly. As of the 30th of September, our liquidity position totaled 9.9 billion euros, following 11.9 billion at the end of June. We are aiming at about 9 billion euros in liquidity by the end of the year. Net financial assets in the automobile segment were reduced accordingly, amounting as of September the 30th to 7.8 billion euros, following more than 10 billion euros in the first half. Intragroup receivables decreased in the third quarter. Compared to the second quarter, they dropped by 800 million to 5.6 billion euros. Receivables from financial services in the automobile segment declined by 1.2 billion to just under 3 billion euros. The capital markets experienced further relief. This is reflected in our lower credit spreads. At 100 basis points, these spreads fell to the lowest level since August 2008. Refinancing costs are attractive because interest rates are currently low. As planned, we ramped up production again in the third quarter due to the production startups of new models. As a result, net current assets rose marginally. In a nine-month perspective, we gained 1.6 billion euros from the reduction of working capital and changes in other items. Net of the funding of about 1.9 billion euros for pension obligations and marketable securities, free cash flow in the automobile segment amounted to a positive 417 million euros in the first 9 months. Including this adjustment, we continue to aim for a positive free cash flow for the full year. Now let's return to the individual, let's move on to the individual segments. EBIT generated by the automobile segment in the third quarter was slightly negative at 76 million euros minus. For the first 9 months, it amounted to minus 358 million euros. For seasonal reasons, EBIT in the motorcycle segment amounted to minus 3 million euros in the third quarter. As of September, the segment had a positive EBIT of 51 million euros. The motorcycle segment suffered a sales decline of 8.4% compared to the same quarter last year, but the company increased its market share all the same, since the market as a whole was down by nearly one-third. The development of the financial services segment should also be highlighted here. Despite the difficult market, financial services continued to perform well. In the third quarter, the segment achieved a profit before tax of 94 million euros. As of September, financial services showed an EBT of 247 million euros. The volume of business was down 2.6% to 59 billion euros. Lease products were down more than 2 billion euros from the beginning of the year. In contrast, receivables from sales financing were up about 511 million euros. The risk situation in this segment was unchanged from the second quarter. The used car market continues to show inconsistent development. While the UK and US used car markets experienced a significant recovery, the situation in the continental European markets remains tight. This is due to national support measures such as the German scrappage program, the Cash for Clunkers scheme. We expect the used car markets to remain difficult and will continue to display inconsistent development. As before, the positive and negative effects on the risk provision offset each other. There are no further burdens, however, from unplanned risk provisions. The situation in terms of the credit risk is similar. The credit loss rate for the first 9 months was slightly lower than for the first half. We remain cautious and do not expect this to lead to a short-term improvement. As Mr. Reithofer has already stated, ladies and gentlemen, we're aiming at a positive group profit for 2009 as a whole. This will be driven by our resolute cost and financial management. We have benefited from the company's very good financial position in the last few months of the crisis. Nevertheless, we still expect the global economy to remain volatile and difficult. This does not rule out the possibility of individual markets displaying a positive, dynamic development, such as China, for example. Over the short term, any recovery will probably be marginal at a low level. In the fourth quarter, we'll benefit from the start-up of new competitive models, such as the BMW X1 and the 5 Series GT. We will benefit also from our revamped portfolio, starting on three levels. First, our product portfolio will become younger, making it much more attractive. Second, our measures to reduce the cost of materials have a positive effect on our new models in particular. And third, this will put us in a position to optimize our price and competitive status once again. The resulting momentum should lead to an improvement in earnings next year. We will take advantage of the market starting to recover in order to improve our pricing. Next year, we will strengthen our profitability by numerous measures. Economic analysts expect markets to recover over the medium to long term, and if and when this happens, we will benefit through our attractive range of vehicles. Our targets for 2012 remain unchanged. That is to achieve an EBIT margin of 8 to 10% in the automobile segment and an ROCE of more than 26%. We're working hard on this and optimizing all areas necessary to achieve this goal. Thank you. Dear colleagues, that was the statement from Mr. Eichener. We now have time for your questions, so let me ask our colleagues in Frankfurt to give you the technical remarks and information regarding the conference call. Thank you very much indeed. Ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question, please press the 0 and 1 button on your telephone. This will give you the opportunity to ask your questions. And we request you to answer your questions over the telephone so that you can be heard on the microphone. Please press again the 0 and 1 button for a question. The first question, please, ladies and gentlemen. The first question is from Stefan Gronig of the Börsen-Zeitung. Good morning. I've got three questions. First of all, your core segment, automobiles. In the third quarter, you delivered more cars. Your costs were down significantly. But despite this, your EBIT loss was bigger than in the second quarter. Can you explain this, please? Can you tell us what the decisive factors, the decisive reasons were? Then please give us an outlook at your core segment in the fourth quarter, that is automobiles. In the fourth quarter, do you expect to reach operative profits, an operative profit level? And then I'd also like to know which savings you've achieved through the reduction of working hours, which is now coming to an end. How many millions have you saved in this way by reducing working hours? Thank you, Mr. Kronig. I'll pass on this question or these questions right away to Mr. Eichener. Well, regarding the third quarter first, your question regarding the EBIT in automobiles, the automobile segment. I think one point must be made clear, ladies and gentlemen. In the third quarter, we also optimized the working capital of our dealers. In other words, sales to dealers, and that is the relevant figure in our case for our results, was a five-digit figure below the retail figures that are published here. So that's important, I think. It must be taken into account. The third quarter, to give you another point, is, of course, always a very competitive quarter. That has always been the case, and that means there's a lot of pressure in the market. And we must also realize that we've now reached the lowest, deepest point, rather, in the age of our models. And now in the third quarter, we are benefiting or starting to benefit from our second model initiative with the models mentioned, the X1 and the 5 Series GT. That is the situation, which is why EBIT was at the level that we presented. That's the, or those are the reasons. What are our plans, our intentions for the fourth quarter? Well, we remain, of course, to be cautious, even though the base effect is now moving up. If we look at positive sales, sales in the market, and the general level of the market, we still see that we're 20% below 2007. In other words, we do not yet see a genuine recovery. Rather, things are picking up very slowly. We will benefit from special effects. Our new products will help us, no doubt about it. And we're also working in the fourth quarter on the year 2010 on our price quality, the quality of our prices. Will this, at the end of the day, give us a positive EBIT in automobiles? We cannot say yet today. We hope so, of course, but it is impossible to forecast this exactly today. Then you asked about savings through short working hours, reduced working hours. We do not want to comment on that point. We do not want to comment again on that specific item. Just one further point regarding savings and shorter working hours. We do not make any statements on that point. Well, can you give us a general frame? I mean, you know, let's say the corridor, maximum, minimum, which you save money in this way. The answer is no. We cannot provide any such information. You heard what Dr. Reithoff just said. The savings in our case were lower than with the competition, but we do not comment on that figure. Next question, please. Thank you. The next question is from Dorothy Jumper of DPA. Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to know whether there's any information on sales in October, how sales have gone in October. And then my second question relates to your cooperation with SGL. This I found quite surprising, in fact, because so far carbon has been seen as very expensive, and you're now entering a segment where electric drive makes cars even more expensive. So how do you want to make money here with a combination of electric drive and very expensive carbon. And then as regards reduced working hours, you said that the reduction of working hours is now to end in Germany. Is this a final, a definite decision, or what about next year? And then your cooperation with PSA, there have been reports that your cooperation with PSA was to be expanded. Maybe there's news in this area. Thank you. Four questions. I'll pass on three to Dr. Reithofer, and one question I think goes to Dr. Eichner. Let's start with PSA, cooperation with PSA, then the reduction of working hours and sales in October, and STL I think will be handled by Dr. Eichner. Well, let me start, madam, with sales in October. We have just received our first extrapolation. That is not the final result, and we are confident that it will be about the same as last year from the perspective of the BMW Group, the same as last October. In other words, the BMW brand will be plus minus zero, Mini will be positive, and in all, the group will be at about the same level as last year in October, sales-wise. Then let me comment again on the general subject of reduced working hours, shorter working hours. At the BMW Group in Leipzig, for example, and in Dingolfing, we have a ramp-up of new models. In Leipzig, we're currently ramping up the X1. In Dingolfing, we're ramping up the 5 Series GT. And there we might even be running special shifts, in other words, exactly the opposite of shorter working hours, again, due to the X1 and the 5 Series GT. This is also why we are taking the 3 Series at the moment out of Leipzig and spreading production of the 3 Series among our other plants, which are therefore also working to higher capacity at the moment for this reason. And then to answer Mr. Kronig's question as well in part, we are currently filling up the pipeline with the X1 and the 5 Series GT. In other words, production of these cars is now underway with 10,000 units at the moment, more than we are selling. In other words, we have we're building up a cushion of 10,000 units. We're very positive, however, here, because the number of orders coming in for both vehicles is over plan and over budget. So much on this point. How shorter working hours, the reduction of working hours, will continue into 2010, I cannot say yet today. At the moment, the situation is what I described. In other words, we've even ramped up our production in Leipzig and Dingolfing due to the X1 and the 5 Series GT. Now, let me move on to our cooperation with PSA. Just one simple answer. We're discussing matters. We are conducting talks. Those talks are continuing in a good spirit, but I won't comment on this in greater detail, because as the CEO of a company, you don't have to comment on everything when such talks are not yet final. Then you asked about SGL, the expensive material involved, carbon fiber. As our CFO, Mr. Eichen has looked at this in greater detail, and he will be giving you, I think, some important points. The general opinion, says Mr. Eichner, is that carbon fiber is very expensive. But you must remember as well, that the CFK, the carbon fiber components used in the market at the moment, are made in very small numbers in processes that still have a big margin for optimization. We've been working on carbon fiber for a number of years in our own production plants, and we're convinced that we'll be able to make carbon fiber components for the automobile. This will allow us to significantly reduce the cost involved, and above all with electric cars, weight is the crucial factor. The weight you save, you can ultimately bring back again by reducing the size of the battery, the amount of electric energy required. So you regain this somewhere else. I think, therefore, that we're going the right way, doing the right thing, and that we'll be building very competitive vehicles in this new segment. Dr. Reithofer has something to add, I see. Yes, you asked, madam, whether this, you know, won't be too expensive, this electric car. On the one hand, of course, we have our cooperation with SB Lemotive. We have our joint venture with SGL Carbon. And in this context, let me tell you again that everything must be seen in its overall context. Looking at the BMW Group and looking at the, you know, criteria, the parameters that we are facing, that we're given by the European Union and by the other authorities, then the BMW Group, looking at the year 2015, is confident that we will not be paying punitive taxes, will not have to do so, because the technology we need to achieve the target set are already in the pipeline. They're being developed. That's the first point. Looking at electric cars or the addition of electric cars to our range, I must move on to the year 2020. And to give you a realistic view of 2020, we believe that by that time, the share of electric cars in the overall portfolio will be between 5 and 15%. These are not my figures. They come from other experts, non-partisan experts. So still, let's say, within a certain corridor. But if you look at the standards applied by the European Union, 95 grams per kilometre, we'll have to develop technologies such as hybrid cars, also for our volume models. We'll have to further optimise the diesel, our combustion engines, the combustion engine in general, and we'll also need electric cars in order to achieve these limits. There are indeed countries that will demand a certain share of electric cars in order to give a manufacturer homologation, in order to allow homologation. So electric cars will be added to the range for these reasons alone. Thank you. Next question, please. The next question is from Mrs. Preisinger of Reuters. Good morning, gentlemen. I'd like to ask about your forecast. The positive result is that your result before taxes or EBIT, and can you tell us what you expect in net terms? Will that be positive too? And then I'd like to know, you've said a number of times that you want to save more money, but on the other hand, you're not cutting jobs, at least not by a big margin. On the other hand, your employees will have to contribute to such savings. You're discussing your wages and salary structures. So can you tell us what you're doing here, what contribution you expect from your employees? And Mr. Eichiner, can you tell us what your credit default rate has been recently, how high it's been? Okay, let me ask, or pass on rather, this question right away to Dr. Eichiner. Well, regarding our results, I can say it's good news, positive in both cases. We wish to achieve a positive EBT and also positive net results. That is the objective we've set ourselves for our earnings. As regards the credit default rates, we have improved here by 3 basis points over the former quarter and are now at 0.71, which I think, looking at the industry as a whole, is a very positive figure. And as I've already said, we would not yet want to see this as a trend because, again, you know, that's good news, but it doesn't yet mean that the crisis is over. Okay, the second point is increasing our savings and reducing jobs. Dr. Reithofer. Well, exaggerating a bit, you know, this would, of course, also be a savings policy that one might, of course, conduct. You could reduce capital expenditure, you could cut budgets, but in that process, you mustn't forget the future. You can't just cut budgets and then neglect the future. So let me give you a clear answer. Through saving alone, you cannot guide a company into the future just by saving money. Rather, we need crisis management. We must save on the basis of crisis management, through crisis management. This means, of course, using the opportunities to reduce our workforce on a sustainable basis, taking social requirements and our responsibility into account, going beyond the figure I mentioned in my statement, the 1,600 employees less in the first 9 months, and looking at voluntary termination agreements. We'll also be spending money, as we did last year. But on the other hand, we must also shape and create the future. We must invest money at the same time in new products, products being ramped up between 2010 and 2012. And we must look further into the future, because I said already that we have standards standards to fulfill in 2015 and 2020. And up to that point in time, up to the year 2015, we don't even have a full model cycle to do so. And looking at the year 2020, we have just about 1.5 model cycles to achieve these standards. On the one hand, therefore, we must save money in order to cope with the crisis. On the other hand, we have to invest money in future technologies. Okay, then another question. Natural fluctuation, natural turnover, is that to continue the same way as in the past? And the people remaining within the company, must they, let's say, forego some of their salaries, their bonuses, for example? Well, we will continue our three-level approach. We'll take natural fluctuation or turnover into account. There'll be retirement plans and voluntary termination agreements. Those are the three strategies, and we will not have any further-reaching schemes or programs. Again, in the first 9 months, through this policy, we've reduced our workforce by 1,600 people, and we will continue this policy up to the end of the year. The second point, of course, is that we will do the same here as in 2008. In other words, if we have a result which does not allow us to pay bonuses, there will not be any bonuses. And that is, of course, also a major factor in giving our employees incentives, and that's how we'll continue in 2009 as in 2008. Okay, thank you. Next question, please. We have no further questions at the moment. Yes, sorry. The next question is from Stefan Kronig of Börsen-Zeitung. Mr. Kronig, you've already asked a question. Yes, but your company is so interesting. I've got to come back with another question. Sorry. Well, but your other colleagues seem to be so amazed that they have no questions at the moment. Anyway, Mr. Kronig, back to you, sir. Yes, I have one question for Mr. Reithofer. Cooperation, joint ventures, your joint venture with Daimler. Can you give us an interim result? Can you tell us what the current status is here? And then the development of your free cash flow. Ms. Eichner, you stated that by the end of the year, you wish to achieve 9 billion euros. What was the comparable figure for 2008? Then I'd also like to know about something about the third quarter. In the third quarter, production was again higher than sales. Will you continue that into the fourth quarter and in the quarters to come? Because, of course, that will increase your stocks, and your stocks, I think, have been reduced significantly in recent months, so maybe that will increase them again. Thank you. Dr. Reithofer, please. Well, Mr. Kronig, let me start with our stocks and the fact that production in the third quarter was higher than sales or customer deliveries. This was mainly because we are ramping up the X1 and the 5 Series GT. In other words, those two new cars are being ramped up at the moment, and it's obvious that we need a pipeline. We need a full pipeline for our markets worldwide with those two new models. We're building up that pipeline at the moment, which is why production must come up front of sales. Otherwise, there'll be no X1s and 5 Series GTs for the market. We need these cars in order to get through November and December successfully and support our sales. That's the main reason for this increase in production. As I said before, as of the end of October, we have more than 11,000 units of the X1 and the 5 Series GT already produced, already built. These cars, again, are going into the pipeline, and that's the main reason for the increase in production you referred to. Regarding our talks with Daimler, all I can say is our talks have not yet been finalized, but that doesn't mean that we are not implementing specific programs and have that, because we are doing so, but the two partners have agreed not to discuss these matters until we have major concrete results. So again, individual things are being implemented, but the strategy as a whole has not yet been fully decided. And by the way, both of us agree, Daimler and we, BMW, agree that we mustn't, of course, dilute or water down our brand identities. We must not endanger or jeopardize our identities. I do not want to say any more here, because certain things we have to keep for ourselves, although everything is continuing. Okay, free cash flow, Dr. Eichner. Well, you asked about liquidity and free cash flow. Regarding liquidity, Mr. Kronik, we now have 9 billion. That's the figure we gave you for the end of the year. At the end of 2008, or in 2008, it was 8.1 billion. So we'll be just about 1 billion higher, not quite 1 billion higher. And regarding our free cash flow, taking special effects into account, that is financing above all of pension obligations, we're looking at a positive cash flow as at the end of the year. Thank you. Next question, please. The next question is of Christoph Rüttmeier, from Christoph Rüttmeier of AP. Yes, I wanted to ask about the lack of price discipline you mentioned before. On the one hand, to what extent, to what degree did this affect your results? Are you already in a discount battle, or isn't it that bad yet? And when do you expect this, let's say, burden to come to an end? Thank you, Mr. Rüttmeier. Let me pass on this question to Dr. Eichner. Well, due to higher discounts, bigger discounts, we have, of course, experienced certain burdens, varying, of course, from one market to the other. When there's a scrappage scheme, like in Germany, a cash for clunkers scheme, that will create price pressure, obviously, across all segments. And we, too, of course, had to take this into account. We had to face this challenge, no doubt about it. But how do we get out of it, of course? That was your second question. We are already preparing for greater price discipline. As I said, we've reduced our dealers' stocks to a certain extent, meaning that we've sold more cars to customers than we've sold to dealers. So pressure is decreasing on the dealer, meaning that they're not under that much pressure to sell through discounts. The second point is that we're introducing new highly attractive products, and those products, of course, we do not intend to market with high discounts. So here we will demand discipline with the 5 Series GT, for example, and the X1, and this will continue with our new products in 2010, so that through this renewal of our product portfolio, we will again be achieving a far higher level of price discipline, which is the approach we plan to take in order to regain stability. Thank you. Next question. The next question comes from Chris Heider of Bloomberg News. Good morning. Just one point. Daimler said last week that they might be suffering additional burdens in the fourth quarter due to their dealers and suppliers. And therefore, I'd like to know from you whether you see such burdens as well from the dealer body and from your suppliers. And I'd like to know to what extent the dollar exchange rate has harmed your results, has burdened your results, and to what extent or to how far into the future are you hedged? Okay, I think that question goes to Dr. Eichner. Sir. Well, it's obvious that we have burdens also among our suppliers. Our suppliers are also suffering from the market weakness of the various suppliers and the decrease in sales. So there are these burdens, that is true, but we've been able to avoid any bigger problems here. And we, at the end of the day, have seen a burden here in our profit and loss account in the double-digit million euro region. We don't expect any bigger burdens, however, in the next or the last quarter. We're making every effort to keep our dealers and our suppliers stable. We're financing many of our dealers through our financial services. And here again, of course, we are able to offer our dealers a reduction in their stocks in order to help them with optimized working capital. Therefore, they can get through the crisis. We're working on all of these factors, all of these levers. So I don't see any further big burdens here. I referred already to our credit default rate, which has improved slightly, showing you that the situation is not deteriorating, but that rather we're maintaining our status quo. Regarding the dollar exchange rate, we are hedged, of course, in the dollar 100% this year, 2009, full coverage, so that this will not cause any additional burdens this year. In all, looking further into the future, or looking at currencies in general, we do see a certain burden here in a low three-digit million euro range. That is less than in 2008, but of course this results above all from currencies such as sterling and also other currencies such as the ruble, which is difficult to hedge and which is, or impossible to hedge, which has lost a lot in value. Thank you. Mr. Reiter, please. Thank you. Next question, please. The next question comes from Stefan Gronig of Börsen-Zeitung. Well, it's me again. Yes, I have a question regarding that second tranche for the German pension obligations. What was it in billion euros? And again, what was the first tranche, just to refresh in my memory?
Dr. Eichner.
Well, the first tranche was 1.5 billion euros. And the second was also 1.5 billion. They were both 1.5 billion. And relating this to our free cash flow account, we had 400 million also from our free cash flow invested in such papers in order to optimize our cost position. This gave us the 1.9 billion that we showed here overall. Regarding your free cash flow, that means that without special effects at the end of the year, you would once again have a minus. Is that correct? It show red figures. Yes, that is correct. No, sorry, not a minus. Not a minus. Again, let me show you the adjustment. We will have a minus figure due to the fact that 1.5 billion pension obligations have been financed now, and we are investing cash in order to receive interest, which will optimize our cost position. That's what you'll see. These, of course, are deliberate effects, deliberate actions. If we were to take these out, we'd have a positive cash flow at the end of the year, and as of the end of the first 9 months, as of the end of September, we also showed a positive free cash flow of 400 million. So you see, Mr. Kronig, a good thing that you asked that question, sir. Good thing. That was really in my interest as well. I'm very happy. I'm very grateful that you've asked that question, made that point. Thank you. Next comment, please. Oh, question. The next question comes from Markus Fasser of Handelsblatt. Good morning, gentlemen. I've also got a few questions. First of all, regarding cost savings, you stated, Mr. Eichner, that you are developing far better here than planned, above all with the cost of materials, stating that you're saving 4 billion, if I'm right, up to the year 2012. Can you tell us to what extent you will exceed your target, 10%, 15%? Can you give us some information here on your improvement, the improvement you're looking at? And then I'd also like to ask about discount battles in the market. Last year, the residual values issue in the USA hit you very hard, and now you've stated that the situation there has stabilized. So I'd like to know what the situation is like in Europe. To what extent are residual values on used cars down in Europe, and to what extent does this affect you, or does it affect dealers? So how are you handling this challenge with your dealers now having to take in cars at far lower prices and sell them also at lower prices? Thank you. Dr. Eichner. Well, to come back to my statement regarding the cost of materials, the savings that we achieve here, that we're achieving, this is attributable above all to the introduction of new models. There we know where we stand at the moment, we know where we stand right now, above all with our new models entering the market in 2010-2011, because here our contracts have been concluded largely with suppliers, so we can calculate everything. And on the basis of this information, I can tell you today that we will be remaining significantly above the 4 billion saving. It will be far more than 4 billion. If you ask what significantly means, it means a lot more than 10% better, a lot more than 10% bigger our savings. Regarding the discount battle and residual values, we see a very different situation from market to market when it comes to residual values. In the USA, we currently record big improvements. We have achieved a level in residual values the same as before the crisis. Is this sustainable, however, remains to be seen. That we don't know yet. But looking at the Mannheim Index, you can see that BMW's returned to its former position, and here we're above better than our competitors in the luxury performance segment. This is good news. This is helping us, of course. And we can see the same positive development in the UK. But right now, the situation in continental Europe is quite different. In Spain, for example, in countries such as Spain, we see burdens at the moment. Also in Germany, due to the scrappage premium, the scrappage bonus paid to consumers, as a result of which used car prices have gone down significantly. But in all, there are no further reaching effects, so that we see no additional burdens. Regarding our dealers, BMW dealers do not run any residual value risk, at least here in Germany, only very small risk. So the residual value issue is mainly within the group, that is with us, and this doesn't really burden our dealers. Yes, but with prices continuing to go down and still no burden, that's a contradiction in terms. I mean, how will you overcome this further reduction in prices? Actually, you would have to bear prices or the risks now and expect appropriate burdens in the fourth quarter. Well, the question is, what must we proceed from? The scrappage bonus is now over in Germany. We have had a decrease in prices as a result. That is also over. And let me tell you how markets have developed, such as the UK and the US, for example, where the crisis came to bear more quickly. There, too, used car prices slumped significantly. Now they're moving up again slightly. We're at the same level as before the crisis. I think that with the market returning to normal conditions, also in Europe, in Germany, in Spain, and in Italy, to give you some examples, the used car markets will once again normalize, and we will return, therefore, to a normal situation once again, albeit at a lower level. So I don't see any further escalation here. I don't expect any further escalation. I don't expect any fast recovery either, but step by step we will improve. We'll improve slowly. And you must realize as well that in Europe, 2 years ago, we launched our Efficient Dynamics model, which are now also leaving the leasing schemes after 3 years, coming out of leasing. And they, of course, will have a much better position versus the competition. No other can manufacturers will have start-stop systems on their cars, on their used cars. We will, which will again give BMW benefits in stable used car prices. Thank you. Next question, please. Yes, we have one more question from Stefan Kronig of Börsenzeitung. Yes, I really have one further question. That is your surprisingly high EBIT loss in the automobile segment, your core segment. You gave us some explanations, Mr. Eichner, here, but I think they're a bit too general. So can you specify this loss? I mean, what was the real reason? I assume it was the cost of ramping up new models, the X1, the GT, the Gran Turismo, and, of course, your model mix, maybe. And I also see that production has gone up significantly compared with the second quarter. So probably it's those three reasons. Can you confirm that, or were there other reasons? Well, first of all, Mr. Kronig, I can confirm those factors, those reasons. And there's one point I'd like to mention again, a point I made before. Sales to dealers is crucial to our results and not sales to customers. Sales to customers is crucial to the dealer. Between these two figures, we have a five-digit volume figure in between. In other words, we've burdened our dealers far less. We haven't overtaxed their stocks, such as others may have done, in order to maintain price discipline in the markets, a disciplined level of prices. And if you look at calculations and the EBIT figures, you must deduct a figure between 10 and 20,000 units, which we haven't pumped into the dealer stocks for the reasons mentioned, and it's obvious that those cars are still missing in our quarterly results, at least at the moment. But of course, with sales going up, we will be increasing our dealer stocks accordingly. However, in a more balanced, a better balanced approach, that we won't have to put them under that much pressure, giving them the need to sell stock through big incentives. That was basically the objective for this quarter and also the preparation for the fourth quarter. But of course, as a result, in this quarter, we had a certain burden on our results, no doubt about it. So this effect must be taken into account in addition to the points you made. Right, thank you. Okay, thank you, Mr. Kronig. Further questions? We have no further questions at the moment. Okay. Well, in that case, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to thank you very much indeed for this conference call today. 5 minutes ahead of time, I may now conclude the conference. Thank you very much for your questions, for your attention, and see you again next time. Thank you for Munich.